A common uncoupling. What did they do that late in earnest autumn? The child moved to the center of their bed. Like a stone in a pond's silence, his tiny heartbeat pulsing out a mood of fragileness all along the old wall-to-wall carpet. His decibel, the teapots, sometimes endless, heated by precisely what flame? Neither had the will to put him back. His body became like a familiar argument, an unshakable consciousness, resting happily in the quick cream of his mother's breath, while the maple tree outside their window ripened, whispering, descant, descent, disconnect. Sometimes she would slam the refrigerator door and look around at the juice spilled on the floor and her son's criminal guilt and feel as if she were a panther ready to murder when it can't run from its cage. Sometimes she would be so exhausted by her own rage, she would look for any place to rest. But there was no place entirely hers left. The child filled out space like inkiness. Sometimes she was glad to see the child cry, feeling righteously life isn't fair. On long days when she was alone with that wide-eyed witness, she wanted her friend, his other thoughts, close to hers. Other thought closed from her. Is love a liability in parenthood? Surely the baby in the first crisis of sensation doesn't care about anyone's exhaustion or despair. Ministering to the first slap of world against iridescent eyelids, one has no use for the discussion of equals, comrades sharing their kitchen, world sphere. And who had ever seen so many hours stitched together, laid out beside one another, to move through as through pond water? And the ancient man and ancient woman called up, where two children once romped and wrapped legs around each other. He held the small boy on the couch while the doctor clipped the thin stitches in his chin. If he could have made that tiny metaphor painless, he would have, but knew of no escape from the chasm of a living room a child is bleeding in, as a pin sutures what was born perfectly made. Tearless, the child closes his eyes in trust, white-lipped, afraid. So the father wraps his arms around the little braveness that is him, and ultimately himself, a child's back pressed to a man's frightened, furiously pounding chest. When they stood alone together outside a concert or the school's principal office, he had nothing to say in the silence, and she would try to speak the way she couldn't when the child was there. Released back into their two-ness, her voice pinched up inside her, tightened up, threadbare. Riding out familiar rhythms, she felt that she had drunk up from some well she had no business dipping in. And sometimes she would dream she heard another voice, like an angel's, ungendered, human, fiercely anchored. It was hers. It was also hers. In the creep of early morning, she could carry friendship to her ear, the phone crooning words into her, then laughter. Then she'd believe in change again, in transformation. The houseplants blossoming on their green lungs, and in the bedroom, two roots sunk deeper into dreams. Through that much space, world gleamed. Surely, a family is a multi-headed organism that feels only what it can share. Is there some ancient lesson in curtailed individual sensation, life peeking through a screen? And when one's head is only a limb, is there some valuable lesson then? What creeps like ivy over the fence into the yards of neighbors? The boy became a backyard window watcher, As night laid its shadow on the garden, closed each pebble in its hand, and stilled the grassy lawn, he'd look out on a foggy morning to a world gone white, see the scuffle, the fight that brings each brown leaf down, while trees struggled in their yoke of bone, and the thin ficus snapped, tumbling the flower pots. Only he'd know where the black cat likes to go. And when the rain would land in the pool like frogs, water circling outward over the rim, he'd stare, waiting late through the glass, cold pain pressed to ear, listening, when all that's left to do is hear.